I'm really thankful. You might may be seated. I feel a lot of emotion in the house today. And I really, when I was preparing and I felt like what God has given me, and then I'm feeling what I'm feeling today, I feel like there's a lot of us that this is a year that's been changes. There's been loss of mothers, or maybe children are wayward and going through something and not maybe acknowledging you the way that you are should be honored. There's a lot of things that can really affect a day like this. And I thank God that he has given us wisdom. He has given us a peace. My title today is Seek Wisdom. And that's what I've been feeling very strongly. And I try to live my life that way. I try to say, God, I can't do this without you. I need your wisdom. And I don't want to try to do anything without his strength. The smallest little things that I do, I just say, God, you've got to guide my hands, guide my mind, guide my thoughts. And since we're human, it's not always a perfect thing. But when we seek him, he will honor that. And I've really, like I said, it's not something that I would normally want to do. But as I've been working with these little children and encouraging them and pushing them and be used of God, let God use you. What kind of area of ministry do you want to be a part of? And I've just been feeling conviction. Wait, God has blessed with so many talents, all of us with so many talents, and we need to use those. Something as simple as, I know I'm no Courtney or Audrey or Sister Renee who can hear something once and play it by ear, but on Wednesday nights I said, hey, Nate, if you need me, I'll be there. I'll help with the piano. Just little things, and I just want to encourage you today, ask God for the wisdom. If you have a desire of something in your heart, he'll give you the wisdom to do it, especially when it's to glorify him. And you can't wait till we're perfect. You know, we're gonna have little hiccups here and there, but everyone, we are a body and we work together, and it works beautiful when we do. And I'm really thankful for all these children that have been really inspiring me. Thank you guys. Thank you for today was beautiful down there. We had the piano and the drums and the praise singers and the worshipers. The kids were singing and worshiping, even some new songs that they're learning. And it just blesses my heart and encourages me, gives me the confidence to get up here and speak to you all. But today I want to share a story with you. First, the most important thing is Proverbs 22:6. How many can quote that? Most of you can. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What an amazing, amazing thing. And when I stopped and realized we had, from ages 3 to 11, 43 children? From ages 3 to 11, that's not the youth, that's not the nursery. We have a lot of kids in the sanctuary. And I realized I'm speaking to half of the congregation is quite young. Even the parents are young. So I just want to encourage you as children, as young parents, seek wisdom. Ask God, help me to train my child. Don't just sit back and hope things turn out well. Don't just think, oh, it's going to fall into place. They'll be fine. No, we need to apply ourselves in every possible way that we can. In order to do this, we need to seek wisdom. This is something that only God can give us the strength to do some of these situations. And where do we go but to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And there is an example in 1 Kings chapter 3. The first time I remember hearing this story, some of you might hear it today for the first time, this blew my mind, and I didn't comprehend the process until I was very, very little. And I wondered, what in the world was that king thinking? And then as I became a young adult, it was more powerful and powerful. Wow. Sometimes situations, we don't know how to fix them. We just don't know. How many of you right now might be in a situation? You'll have to raise your hand. But you might be in a situation right now. You don't have any idea how this is going to unfold. You don't know. You're in a situation where only God can intervene. Well, I got good news for you today. So God's going to give you the wisdom. So we can turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3, or you can follow along. I believe it's going to be up on the screen. We are going to start with verse number 4. So we know that Solomon was a wise king, He wasn't just born that way. So we are going to read. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. So this was a serious thing for him. And I doubt they were all in one day. So 1,000 burnt offerings, it shows his consistency, his faithfulness, his sacrifices unto the Lord. He sought the Lord. He didn't just sit at home and hope that he would gain wisdom, but he sought the Lord. He, what can I do? What can I do today, God? He would sacrifice. He applied himself. And then God saw his heart because, verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne. And it is this day, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. This is his, like, concern. Lord, I can't do this without you. Why, Lord, did you tell me I get the microphone this morning? This is kind of scary. I have a big obligation on my hands. But, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know how to go out or to come in. And verse 8 says, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Isn't that an amazing thing? And he understands there's sometimes we can't discern it, and we have to ask God to. How often have we, like, done something and thought, what was I thinking? That wasn't of God. That wasn't a good choice. I have to discern from good and evil. I have to walk away from things that are not pleasing to God. Verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you all love just for God himself to give you that? Not wonder do I have it, but you know God just gave it to you. So that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any be like you, like and arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offering up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. He was celebrating, he was accepting, he was receiving it. And I believe that's one thing that we might lack on sometimes is we don't acknowledge and we don't receive it. Lord, I receive that. I celebrate that. I claim that. I am going to use that in operation. So then the day came that there's no possible way anybody would question if this was the king's judgment or if this came from God. Now two women were harlots, came to the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the house, in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And the woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept. I laid him in her bosom, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I exclaimed or examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, No, that's not how it was. But the living son is my son, and the dead one's your son. And the first woman said, No, but the dead son is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So they're having an argument before the king. And some of the things that I had read and the studies that I had seen was that they had already gone to other courts. They had gone to other people trying to get someone to resolve this. Someone to say, hey, she's stealing my baby. You know, she's fighting for her child and saying, God, you know, well, judgments, please be judgment on my side. And then I believe God led her to this king to show the people how only God can give the wisdom. And verse 23, I believe we're on. And then the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give one to the one mother and the other half to the other mother. This is where, as a child, I was like, that's not a wise king. Why would he do that? But as a young adult, I realized he knew he was not going to have to harm this child. He knew that. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son and said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine or yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is the mother. Was that not like crazy? Do you remember that first time you heard it? Maybe this is your first time. But wow, that's wisdom. He knew how to find out who the real mother was. And all Israel heard, verse 28, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. So this situation God used to show the people that there isn't always, we're not, in our human mind, are not always going to have the answer. Who knows how long that could have gone if that king wouldn't have literally called that mother out and said, you're lying, and in a way that she couldn't deny it. There's no way she could deny it at this point. And so I think it's just amazing how they knew to go to the king. They knew that the king was a God-fearing man, and this came from the king. And although today is Mother's Day, and I want to encourage mothers, we have a lot of others that bring young children. We are a mother figure. And some of these children, for whatever reason, their mother cannot be a strong influence on their life. And so I just want to ask all of us just to ask the Lord for wisdom. Children, ask God for wisdom. Don't just think it's going to happen. We have a lot. I think every parent in this church is extremely involved in the education of their children. If they're not homeschooling, they're watching very carefully that their children are being educated. They're learning well. And then why should we seek God's wisdom in our lives? He is our king, and we can go to him for guidance for our children. And there's so many things in my life that I don't want to do without him. And some of them aren't necessarily spiritual, but I ask God for wisdom in every area. When we were first married, I remember there's like circumstances that would arise that I wish I could take care of that situation. And how many times do we say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't cook. I can't sew. I can't do this or that. I can't work on cars. I can't. No, you can't right now in your mindset. But I believe that anything you put your mind to, anything. God has created our minds, and he's given us the wisdom, but we need to seek him. We want his wisdom to be able to guide us and to know that it's him that gives us the strength, and we give him the glory for it. And, of course, the only example I have is my own life, and I know when I'm listening to someone speaking, I love to hear a little bit about them, too. I want to know, you know, what is it that qualifies you to be able to speak to me like this? Well, I do. It's something I've always been passionate about. God, you know, give me the wisdom that I need. So many times I would find myself in a situation that I just couldn't control, and whether it needed to be controlled or not, I wanted to take control. When we first came to Cleveland, if there had been a big music department, I probably would have never learned to play the piano. And I'm so thankful that I applied myself, and I every service, pastor would tell me, you can do this, you can do this. I'm like, I can't play that song, I just can't. Well, I want to sing the song today, and I know you can do it. Just get on the piano and just try it. And so God, you know, just show him I can't do this. No, Lord, okay, you show me how to do it. And there were times in that little storefront that I remember literally feeling the anointing on my fingers, and it's that beautiful conduit where you feel the power of God coming through you. How many times have you spoke to somebody and they're talking to you and they're hurting, and all of a sudden this words come out of your mouth and you're like, you know, I didn't pre-think that. I didn't plan this. Was this me? You know that it was God speaking through you. And the only way you can do that is by allowing God to do it, asking him for the wisdom. And if you never find yourself in a situation where you're exercising the gifts and the wisdom that God has given each one of us, start putting yourself in those situations. Allow yourself to be in them. Try not to say, well, I just can't do that. Another thing that was very monumental to me, it was kind of a funny thing, and again, it wasn't real spiritual, but we're here in Cleveland, and my husband needs suits. He is a pastor, and he wants to wear suits to church, and he wants to wear ties. And how many remember Value City Department Store? Now it's only furniture, but it's, oh, wow, some of the young ones know. Okay. Well, it was a great place to get suits. And you can get suits very affordable, especially when they're on clearance. And I remember we're in the store, and we're like, oh, wow, we can afford this suit. This is awesome. And then we find out, oh, it's going to cost as much as a suit is to alter it for you so it'll fit you. And we're like, oh, I didn't think about that part. And so at that point, my husband always believes in me, always pushes me. He says to the man, well, my wife sews. Well, what do they do to the suits? Where do they take it in? How do they make it fit? The guy says, oh, you just take this seam and you just gradually go like this, and then you just separate it from the bottom and you go to this part. And I'm like, well, if you don't mind it getting ruined and you looking goofy, I'll give it a try. But you can't be mad at me if I ruin your suit. And so because of that, I was able to have the confidence. He pushed me, I promise you, I'm not just saying this as a cliche. I literally prayed and said, God, give me the wisdom to do this perfectly the first time, because I knew that if I messed up his suit in any way, if it puckered, if it did anything wrong the first time, I would have felt defeated. So I said, God, you got to help me do this right and do it beautifully. And he did. And God blessed me with the wisdom to do that. And so that gave me confidence. Then the next little hurdle that I had come across, there was a young lady shortly after we came in this building, so about 20 years ago. She was about 4'8", and she was the sweetest little thing, and she is getting married, and she's so excited about getting married. And she comes to me and she said, Sister Roberts, it was all I could do to afford to buy this dress. Is there any way you can help me hem it? I said, oh, no, I don't touch wedding dresses. I'm sorry, honey. I can't touch your wedding dress. I would be horrified if I ruined your wedding dress. I'm sorry. She goes, Sister Roberts, I'm going to walk down that aisle with this. And it was like 10 to 12 inches, I think, that I had to take off of it. She's like, I'm going to trip down the aisle. If you do not hem my dress, I'm wearing this dress the way it is because I cannot afford to it. I'm like, okay. She said, anything you do to my dress is going to be better than what it is right now. So please, please help me with my dress. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And again, it was a confidence builder. It would have been so easy for me to say, no, I'm sorry. I really don't want to do that. I can't do it. But no, I really felt that the Lord allowed me to, again, build confidence in the abilities he's given me. And I prayed, and I prayed. I touched that dress, and I prayed. I said, God, let it be beautiful and lay perfect and make her happy. And everything I do from now on, when I sew, I pray that it turns out beautiful, but I bless the person that I'm sewing for. And I know that there's no way that I can do each of these things if I did not have the trust in my God, because as I move forward and as I start cutting that satin and that silk and that beautiful material and it's going away and it's so scary and I think, oh my goodness, what happens? And each time I say, God, give me a peace. I can't get cold sores and get all sick and get a headache and, you know, and all these things, and which I have done a few times. But I feel like these little accomplishments give me strength to be up here today, because these are the things that we need you. We need all of you to be able to edify the church, because to be able to use the talents and abilities that God's given you, especially mothers, because you are an example to your children. They're watching you. If you constantly say, I can't do it, I can't do that, I can't, they're going to learn that behavior. My mom doesn't try anything. And you know what? I don't need to try anything. I'll be okay. But I have some scriptures for you that talks about the importance of wisdom. Number one, these ones, if you are a note taker, you could write these scriptures down, because I'm going to go through them. I didn't give them to them upstairs. Wisdom provides a sense of personal security, stability, and well-being. Proverbs 3:21-26. My son, this is a paraphrase of it, my son, keep sound wisdom and discretion, then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, and when you are, you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked. When it comes, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So that's keep wisdom and discretion. We have to seek it. We have to obtain it and keep it. Wisdom, a second one is, wisdom builds strong homes and promotes happy family relationships. Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, and a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Proverbs 19:13, this is still about the happy home and relationships. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping rain. Proverbs 19:13, if you're wanting to go read that again. Wisdom earns favor in the workplace. Proverbs 14:35, if you're struggling in the workplace, ask God for wisdom. A servant who deals wisely with or has the king's favor, impress your boss. Wisdom makes a more valuable employee. Proverbs 14:35, seek wisdom. Proverbs 17:2, a servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully, and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. Sometimes those in the lowest position end up having the greatest influence because they are wise. Wisdom is important. The fourth one is, wisdom enables you to overcome major obstacles and oppositions. Proverbs 21:2, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Proverbs 24:6, by wise guidance you can wage your war. Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is full of strength. The fifth one is, wisdom helps you work smarter, not harder. Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. Let that one sink in. Ecclesiastes 10:10, how many times we try to do things in our own power. We try over and over and over. I've caught myself doing that. I'm like, why isn't this working? Oh, Lord, I didn't stop and ask you for strength. Lord, help me. God, take away all those boo-boos I just did and help me to focus because I didn't put you first. All we have to do is ask him for the wisdom, and he will remind us, sharpen that iron. It's blunt. Number six is wisdom exalts you before others. Proverbs 3:35, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. So basically, if you're not wise, you're foolish. Number seven, wisdom diffuses angry people and situations. Proverbs 29:8, scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. Proverbs 16:14, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. Wisdom affects your physical health and well-being. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Do you ever see someone who just has ugly bones? Usually it's because they've got envy, they have strife, they have something going on. But wisdom, it's tranquil, it gives you a tranquil heart. Proverbs 3:7-8, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment medicine to your bones. And number nine, provides protection. Proverbs 2:11-16. Okay, if I can get there. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So you will be delivered from the forbidden women, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Now, obviously, we've all come across people that are strong influence on us, a strong influence on our children. And we need to pray that our children have wisdom to avoid. There are people that have flowery words, and they can convince you to do the craziest things. And you find yourself following after them and realizing, what in the world? Thank you, God, for a praying mother. Thank you, my mom. Oh, I thank God for my praying mother. There were times I found myself in situations. One specific time, I made a bad choice when I turned 18, and my mom asked me not to do it. I was going somewhere I shouldn't have gone, and I felt conviction the whole time. I just went with some friends somewhere, and she asked me not to, and she says, well, if you're going to go, she went up to her room, and I knew she went to her room to pray for me. I knew she did. The whole time I was gone, I didn't really know where I was going. I thought I was going somewhere else, and I ended up somewhere that I was really upset about. And when I got home, my brothers told me that my mom was in the room the entire time praying for me. And I know he saved me from some serious situations because I felt it. You know, sometimes we have to discern, is it conviction or is it condemnation? I'm not going to allow myself to be condemned. I made a wrong decision, but God, you can get me out of it. And I know I have a praying mother. My mother fasts for her children. And I have learned from that as well. And I prayed for my children. I prayed for every decision that they made. There's times that I wonder, okay, how are they going to react to this proposition or this person with flowery words that came to them? And we pray for them. And that's something that I just want to encourage you all. Pray for the wisdom because you will be amazed. You'll feel it. You'll know it. You'll say, that wasn't in myself. That was God. God just spoke through me to my child and could have saved them. I'm not even sure if I ever told her that story. And I'll tell you what incident later. But I had held on to that through my motherhood as a mother, young mother with my children. I knew I could pray away bad influences. I could pray away people that are going to ill affect my children. And our last scripture as we stand, if we could stand, I'd like you all just to ask the Lord today, everybody. This isn't just for mothers. I really feel that God wants to impart a special wisdom to every one of us. And he wants us to understand how to obtain it, how to communicate with God, how to pour out our feelings to him. And For those of you that aren't familiar with the fact how why we're crying and why we get emotional, you know, when you love somebody and you care about, you have a relationship, I have a relationship with God, I can feel that emotion. And sometimes I get teary-eyed, sometimes I bawl like a baby. There's emotions that will stir in you. Don't damper them. Don't hold them back. Allow God to use you. Talk to him in ways you never have before. Seek out wisdom. Our last scripture is James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It's a promise. He will give it to you. Ask, and he will. If you lack it, if you feel like, oh, I just can't do that, ask God, give me the wisdom to do that. Question yourself, wait, is it because I'm being lazy and don't want to do it? Or do I really feel like I'm going to mess this up? Ask God, help me to do things I've never done before. Help me to step out. If you're feeling that you have a gift that you can give to God, but you just are waiting for the right time, you're waiting for someone to come to you, you're waiting for that word from God, you just received it. This is your calling, that God is saying, yes, that specific thing that you can offer. Every single department in our church is open. We have spots for every single thing. Don't say, oh, we have enough singers, we have enough piano players, we have enough drummers. No. Every single area, greeters, Sunday school teachers, every area of this church, there's going to be someone who might need a little break. We want to rotate them. Ask God, Lord, help me to raise up my children to desire the gifts and to have wisdom. Help me to desire to grow in you more than I ever have before. And if we could just come, everybody, if you could please just come to the front and commit yourself. Ask God, Lord, show me the things that I keep trying to avoid because I have fear or I don't feel I have the wisdom that I need.